Hello, everyone. Welcome to TechNet Radio and today's discussion for IT professionals. This is episode 3 of a series of interviews entitled Modernizing Your Infrastructure with Hybrid Cloud. Now, in this episode, we're going to focus on planning your networking as a part of your hybrid cloud infrastructure. Hello, my name is Kevin Remde. I'm a senior technology evangelist on the U.S. Developer Experience team at Microsoft, coming to you from the Microsoft Technology Center in Edina, Minnesota. I am your TechNet Radio host today. Now, if you have questions or if you want to just stay in touch with me, you can reach me at my blog, aka.ms/fullofit, one word, full of IT, or on Twitter as Kevin Remde, also one word. Now, today I'm talking with my friend and coworker, Keith Mayer. Keith, good day to you.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, everybody. Good pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me into today's episode, and I'm really excited to be chatting with you today.
Yeah, now tell us a little about yourself. How can we contact you if we have any other questions?
Yeah, so I'm also a senior technical evangelist on the USDX team, the same team as Kevin. We're peers. We work in the U.S. to support IT pros and startups and organizations across the country on helping them plan for migrations to Windows Server 2012 R2 and System Center and Azure. And you can find me online at keithmayer.com.
Fantastic. Thanks, Keith. Now, Keith and I are also here for the ALS Challenge. So I happen to have my ice bucket here, and I'm going to ready. You don't have yours, Keith? Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to do that another time then. We'll support that cause. I'm sure everybody's going to get a bucket of ice on their heads one of these days.
The kitchen was out of ice. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have to do it another time. So today, I guess we're just going to have to talk about modernizing your infrastructure, and today's topic. It's a really big topic. We're going to talk about the various options around networking. Now, let's just say that on behalf of my business, I've determined that in the long term, I want to move some of my data center resources into the cloud. I want to extend my data center, extend my hosted applications and services into Microsoft Azure. Well, if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to have to make sure the connectivity is there for me, right? That network connectivity needs to be fast. It needs to be reliable. It needs to be secured. Ultimately, my users or my customers, they don't care whether or where my application resides. So that network needs to be really good. It needs to just work. So tell us, Keith, just give us an introduction of what the components are when we're talking about hybrid cloud networking.
Yeah, and that's a great question. Hybrid cloud I look at as really combining the best of both worlds of an on-premises network with the extensibility of a networking connection, networking connectivity to a public cloud platform like Microsoft Azure. And so pulling that all together, there's your on-premises network infrastructure. Most environments today are virtualized. And if you're using virtualization with Hyper-V and Windows Server and System Center, generally that's going to involve building out logical networks and virtual machine networks and logical switches and assigning those to your various virtualization hosts. But then to truly make it into a hybrid network, we need to have some connectivity up to our cloud platform. So out on the Microsoft Azure platform, building out one or more virtual networks that help to take that public cloud platform and really isolate a piece of it down to your business organization from a security boundary standpoint. Inside that those virtual networks, just like an on-premises network, you can build out one or more subnets for organizing your various virtual machines or other workloads. But then the real magic is in the site-to-site connectivity. And today, the most common way of connecting an Azure virtual network or set of networks to an on-premises set of networks is through site-to-site VPN tunnels over the public internet. And so from an Azure standpoint, Azure provides a virtualized version of those VPN gateways that are provisioned in a highly available pair. And from an on-premises standpoint, a customer organization, a business organization would have either a physical or virtual set of VPN gateways on-premises as well to be able to route the traffic securely across the public internet from the on-premises networks out to Azure and back. Once that's all in place, the beauty of it is that the virtual networks and those subnets that you've defined out in Azure look from a routing perspective on your network like they're just another remote data center location, another remote site on your overall wide area network, allowing you to really capitalize on Azure for for being able to extend some of those resources as you're going through a migration out to the Azure cloud.
Okay, so it basically sounds like just an extension of your data center, as long as you have that site-to-site connection and the secured tunnel, the VPN tunnel, to happen there. What are some of the other technical capabilities of this hybrid cloud networking?
So in real, that's a great question. In stitching this all together to truly be that extension, as you mentioned, of your on-premises data center, organizations find that they need to be able to choose a compatible IP address space range to make it easy to route across those site-to-site connections. And so when you're building virtual networks out in Azure, you can choose any of the private IPv4 ranges and subnet those out, much like you would from an on-premises standpoint. So if you're using a 10.x or 192.168 or 172.16 address range for your on-premises data center, you can take a portion of that address range, carve that out for Azure, subnet it out, and be able to route across to it just like it's another set of subnets in your data center. The other piece, though, when we're thinking about leveraging the public cloud platform that I get lots of questions about, and Kevin, I'm sure you probably do as well, is in terms of security. So when we're building out these virtual networks on Azure, it's leveraging network virtualization in the Azure cloud. And part of what that network virtualization is doing is providing software-defined networking that provides a security boundary for the virtual machines that we're putting in our virtual network, a way that protects them and keeps them isolated from virtual machines or other workloads that are on any other virtual network in your subscription or in someone else's subscription, certainly. So it allows you to build this isolated environment that's private to your organization and treat it just like a private data center in your own environment. Now, obviously, once we've got routing in place between our on-premises data center and one or more virtual networks running up in Azure, we also have to be able to easily resolve computer names to the IP addresses of wherever those virtual machines are running. Most users, I find, don't like memorizing all kinds of IP addresses for accessing servers, right? When we're building out those Azure virtual networks, we also have the ability to bring our own DNS along. So if we're using DNS, perhaps integrated with Active Directory, running on premises, we can leverage that same DNS architecture for performing name resolution in our hybrid network environment, regardless if those virtual machines are running on premises or in an Azure virtual network. And as those virtual machines might migrate one way or the other down the road, by having a consistent DNS architecture in place, it allows, as the virtual machines migrate from a subnet on premises out to the cloud or back, it allows DNS to be easily updated to reflect whatever the current IP addresses are for where the virtual machine is living today. So we've got some great capabilities from that standpoint. And then security is not just about running the virtual machines up on Azure, but if we're thinking about our site-to-site connection, security also comes into play for all the traffic that we're routing back and forth between our on-premises network and those virtual networks across the public internet. And so Azure, with the VPN gateways that we mentioned a little earlier, uses standard IPsec tunneling to create secure tunnels that use AES 128 and AES 256 bit encryption to encrypt all of the traffic as it flies back and forth between your on-premises environment and your Azure virtual networks.
Yeah, you mentioned that connectivity and that gateway and supporting some of the standards around encryption. Are there particular gateways that are supported by our implementation in Azure, and what are some of those, and what's really required to make that happen?
That's a great question. So the VPN gateway support that Azure implements is standards-based. It's based on IKE V1, V2 standards. We mentioned AES 128 and 256-bit encryption a little earlier. As part of that encryption, it uses SHA-1 and SHA-2 hashing capabilities. And as a result, what we find is that VPN connectivity can be accommodated through a variety of on-premises VPN gateways that organizations may have in use today because of that standards approach. Now, having said that, our Azure support team has worked closely with a subset of manufacturers to not only support these standards, but also produce tested configurations where the Azure team can actually provide base configuration scripts for the on-premises gateway devices and be able to help accelerate the ability for customer organizations to build and implement those virtual network connections, those VPN connections back and forth between on-prem and the cloud. So we support, you know, a lot of the common on-premises VPN gateways from Cisco and Juniper and WatchGuard and F5 and whatnot. And in addition, Windows Server 2012 or 2012 R2 can also be used in environments as a software VPN gateway.
Oh, okay.
In fact, when you do that, the Azure config script basically hardens that Windows Server installation down so that once it's configured, the only traffic it'll be able to send and receive over a public interface is the authorized IPsec traffic.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so a lot of different options there, both hardware and software, and even provided in our base operating systems. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, what are some of the common scenarios that we're seeing with customers in their implementation of hybrid cloud networking?
So we talked about one of the scenarios at a very high level a little earlier in terms of data center extension or data center expansion. And I find there's a lot of interest in that. I'm not sure if you've seen similar interest as well. Part of that is because a lot of the customers I've been working with are at the point of being almost over capacity in their on-premises data centers today. And so they're at a decision point as they look to migrate server workloads or introduce new server workloads of, do they spend money on growing physical on-premises data center capacity, or do they look for other more cost-effective ways of being able to satisfy those capacity needs? So data center extension allows organizations to look for certain workloads that make sense to think about moving up to the cloud, like on-demand workloads, perhaps for dev and test environments or running batch jobs in their environment or whatnot, move those up securely to a cloud platform, and then potentially free up some of that on-premises data center capacity for running workloads that perhaps the organization deems as more mission critical or require lower latency connections or have other requirements around them for running on-premises. In addition to that just generic data center extension, I've got customers that have done a variety of other kind of interesting scenarios with a hybrid cloud networking environment like this. I've got one customer that's using it as a way of bursting out to the cloud, where they have a set of web applications that run on-premises today over their on-prem internet connection, but as utilization increases, they have a set of on-prem load balancers that redirect traffic out to the cloud where additional virtual machines can be spun up as needed to satisfy that capacity. That way, they're not spending all of that money for on-premises capacity that they may only use maybe once or twice a month when they hit certain peak periods of utilization. Security. We talked a little bit about security earlier, and one of the areas that I've seen some growing interest around is leveraging the cloud, the Azure cloud, as an organization's DMZ or demilitarized zone. So that way, those traditional DMZ workloads that an organization may put out in their perimeter network in their on-premises data center, they can instead have that perimeter network moved up to Azure. And it's kind of a cool idea because if you think about it from a security standpoint, if other hackers or whatnot start trying to attack them over the internet, they're actually not attacking their on-premises network. They're actually being redirected out to a completely external network that they're running in Azure, and they're not risking having all of that denial of service or other attacks coming over their internet connection that's perhaps also servicing other business-facing needs like outbound email and whatnot as well. So security is a big issue. Disaster recovery, lots of interest there. You know, disaster recovery sites, traditional disaster recovery sites are super expensive. So we see a lot of organizations thinking about leveraging the Azure cloud as another remote data center site that has replicated copies of their data and remote access scenarios. We've got some really cool capabilities. Once a virtual network and that virtual, that the VPN gateway, that hybrid networking is in place through Azure Remote App for being able to extend very efficiently remote desktop applications from within your hybrid cloud data center environment out to users that may be anywhere in the world over just accessing it over an internet connection. So lots of cool scenarios once the base hybrid cloud plumbing is in place between an on-premises data center and a set of virtual networks running up in the Azure cloud.
So that site-to-site connectivity becomes really, really important, and you've done a great job in describing how that's done with site-to-site connectivity over the big bad internet. But I'm wondering if there's some other options that customers may have for making that connection between their data centers and the cloud, the Azure data center.
There are, and you're right. You know, we traditionally site-to-site connectivity to any cloud platform has involved some type of site-to-site VPN connection. And as you had mentioned, those route over the internet. And so there's some bad issues around that, some negative issues around that in terms of anything that routes over the internet. We really don't have any way of being able to effectively control QoS, and then the security concerns, even if we're encrypting the traffic, you know, there still could be concerns for people trying to interrupt or redirect the traffic so it doesn't reach its destination. So what we've recently introduced with Azure is a way for organizations to establish more direct connectivity to Azure virtual networks and other resources that are running inside of an Azure subscription without routing that traffic over the public internet. We call that set of alternative options ExpressRoute. And ExpressRoute is offered in a couple different ways. We're working with, as one of those options for ExpressRoute, we're working with a number of exchange providers. These are providers that have big fiber hotels, carrier hotels located across the world. Providers like Equinix and Level 3 Communications that have literally all kinds of other carriers and data center providers all congregating at their exchange provider carrier hotels as ways of cross-connecting these big networks back and forth. And so Azure, as it happens, is actually cross-connected with many of these fiber hotels as well, so that if an organization needs really high speed, really low latency connectivity, up to 10 gigabit per second redundant low latency connectivity, they can actually leverage that to cross-connect into an Azure virtual network, either over dark fiber, or in some cases, customers may have equipment that's co-located in some of these fiber hotels as well. So that becomes really attractive for them at that point, thinking about Azure truly as just another data center location. You know, when you're talking about 10 gig connectivity with, anywhere from 2 to 4 millisecond latency access into Azure, it opens up a whole new set of options that environments may not consider over a public internet connection.
Yeah.
And the other option, so we talked about two options. The second option is using MPLS wide area networking. So our Azure team has worked with AT&T and Level 3 Communications and Verizon Business and British Telecom, as well as a growing list of other providers, to offer the ability for customers that are using any of those providers for MPLS wide area networking capabilities for their existing wide area network to bring Azure in as just another node or set of nodes on their existing MPLS network. And at that point, that becomes a really seamless way for those organizations to now connect multiple sites on their MPLS network into Azure. And think about, you know, perhaps an organization where you have, you know, 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 different branch offices all connected with MPLS, now being able to have direct access to Azure over that private MPLS network. It speeds up to a gigabit per second.
Wow. That's great, and something I'd love to have right on my home too. But not an option for me right now. But certainly for business, I mean that's another fantastic option. So I'm glad we have that that capability for businesses that require that kind of reduction in latency, as well as the performance and as you mentioned the implied security as a part of that that dedicated connection. So we've talked a lot about the basics of this. Let's actually take a look at it. Could you walk us through some of the basic steps for setting up a hybrid cloud network?
Sure. Let's meet over in the lab and we'll walk through it together.
All right.
So Kevin, here we are over in our lab environment. And so when we were talking about the different components for hybrid cloud networking, we talked about on-premises networking, virtual networks in Azure, and then a way of connecting the two together to form that hybrid network. So we'll assume that we already have an on-premises network, and our next step is to build out one or more virtual networks in Azure. And so I'm logged in to the Azure Management Portal, and I'm on the networks page. That's where we build and manage virtual networks. And you can see I've got a number of virtual networks that are already provisioned as part of my subscription. So a single Azure subscription can have multiple virtual networks. Each virtual network is completely isolated away from any other virtual network unless we start connecting them together with those VPN gateways that we were mentioning. To build a virtual network out in Azure initially, it's really easy. I just go down to the bottom of the Azure Management Portal, click on my New button, and then under Network Services and Virtual Network, I can select Quick Create to create a base virtual network. Why don't we go ahead and create one? I'll call this My Azure Virtual Network. We can pick a starting address space for any of the private IP ranges. And then once it's initially built, we can actually customize that in the properties of the virtual network to a specific subset of any of those address ranges as well. We can specify how many IPs we want to make available for running VMs on the virtual network. So far, I haven't been able to find a use case for running more than 4,096 VMs in my lab environment, so I'll keep the low value here. And then we have to play a little bit of Where's Waldo and say, where in the world do we want our new virtual network to live? In which Azure data center region? I'm going to create this over in the East US. That's where I'm closest to. But in some cases, if you were building out a virtual network for disaster recovery purposes, you may intentionally want it to be in a data center region that's further away from the general geographic vicinity of where your on-premises networks are. And then for now, I'm going to set DNS server to none, just so that we can see where we can update that and add additional DNS server properties to our virtual network as part of bringing in our own DNS servers. So 4-5 fields of information, one click on create a virtual network, and just like that, my new Azure virtual network is in the process of being provisioned with an IP range, a secure isolated area, up on our Microsoft Azure subscription that we could now provision one or more virtual machines on. And that works out really great. Here's my new virtual network. It's its own little isolated network bubble up in the cloud. But if I wanted to modify the parameters around that virtual network and enable some site-to-site VPN type connectivity, all I have to do is drill into the properties of my virtual network, and over on the Configure tab, we'll see a number of different options. So when I was provisioning my virtual network, we talked a little bit about DNS and being able to bring your own DNS servers. I left that blank initially just so I could show you it's something you can always modify after the fact, after your virtual network is provisioned. You can define a number of well-known DNS servers that you're using in your environment and share them as definitions across your virtual networks. Or if you're just getting started and you're adding in your first DNS server that you're going to reference eventually across your site-to-site connection from on-premises, you can just key in a descriptive name and then plug in the IP address that DNS server is on, the internal IP address for that DNS server. So in our scenario, maybe we'll say that 10.1.0.0 is the address range we're using on premises, and we use a different address range up on our Azure VNet, and we'll say that, hey, over on my on-premises network, I've got a DNS server that I'm going to use. that's running at 10.1.0.4, we'll say, for instance. And I can have multiple DNS servers. Once these DNS servers are in place on my Azure VNet, any VMs that I provision on this VNet will automatically receive this DNS server information in a similar way to how on-prem VMs would receive this type of information through DHCP in the on-prem world. In addition, we've got our site-to-site connectivity listed down a little further, and our virtual network address spaces. So before we get into site-to-site connectivity, let's just make sure that our address space is correct. We initially picked a 10.x address space, and that's going to default to using 10.0.0.0. In my Azure virtual network, maybe we said our on-prem network is going to use 10.1. Maybe I want to use 10.2.0.0 for my Azure virtual network. And let's get rid of one of those extra periods. And I'm going to do that with a /16 mask. So 10.2.anything is going to be an address that's related to this virtual network. It's quite a lot of addresses, 65,000 different addresses. So what I can do now is I can actually carve that address space out into multiple subnets. So maybe I have one subnet that I wish to reserve for my web VMs, my web server VMs that I'm going to be putting in place. So I can make that subnet a starting IP of 10.2.1.0, and we'll give that a /24 mask, so that 10.2.1.anything will be the range of usable addresses for my web subnet. And then similarly, maybe I've got a data subnet, and I want to make that 10.2, we'll say. And maybe I've got a infrastructure subnet. Maybe I'll be putting some domain controllers or DNS servers of their own up on my Azure virtual network. So we'll make that 10.3.0 with a /24.
Hey, Keith, so I've got the ability. Quick question for you, though. You're creating these things called subnets, and I think maybe you should be a little bit clear on what a subnet is in Azure. It's not necessarily something that's routable, correct?
Yeah.
These are actually just ranges?
They're ranges of address, IP addresses that I'm carving out from my overall virtual network address space. And you're absolutely right. And commonly in the Azure space, it's not so much that you have to worry about routing, because Azure automatically figures out how to allow VMs on one subnet to communicate with VMs on another subnet, as long as they're inside the same Azure virtual network. What is commonly done more so is for organizing your IP ranges across your various types of roles that you're putting in Azure. And one real common reason for doing that is between these subnets, perhaps you want to implement some firewall type security. So, you know, maybe between our web server VMs and our database server VMs, we want to have some firewall rules that are blocking or allowing only certain types of traffic. Well, for Windows VMs, we can do that by using Windows Firewall inside the VMs and group policy to distribute those rules. And by organizing our overall address space into these well-defined ranges of different subnets, it makes it really easy to build those types of firewall policies through group policy, for instance.
All right.
So yeah, some good reasons for doing that kind of organizational structure rather than just having it be one big flat address range. So I'll go ahead and save my changes, and it'll take a moment for it to update my virtual network. So we'll give it a moment here. And then once it's done, then we'll talk next about our site-to-site connectivity options. Okay, so now we've got our DNS settings saved, and we've also got our subnets for our virtual network saved. Now we're ready to enable site-to-site connectivity. But before we enable that, you'll see it says connect to a local network to enable that. We first have to tell Azure what the IP range is for our local on-premises network that we're going to route to over our site-to-site connection. So what I'm going to do just for a moment is I'm going to use this back button to come back out to my networks page. And you'll see on my networks page, there's a local networks tab that allows me to define the IP address space for any of my local on-premises networks. So I'm going to create a new local network. I'm going to go over to my new button. under virtual network, I'm going to select the option to add a local network. And for this local network, I'll specify a name. And I'll also specify my VPN device IP address and my address space. Now, for the VPN device IP address, you'll see it says optional. The reason for it saying optional is because if you're using ExpressRoute, you're not really routing to an on-premises VPN gateway. So you can basically plug anything in here. It doesn't use this field. But if you're routing over the public internet to an on-prem VPN gateway, then you would put in the public IP address of your on-premises VPN gateway for establishing that site-to-site connection. And then I would just specify my address space. So we'll plug in our overall address space. So we'll say this is for 10.1.0.0. That was our on-premises network. And we want that to be with a /16 mask. So 10.1.anything is going to be our on-prem network. And we'll go ahead and create that. And it'll take just a few moments for it to create our on-prem network. And there we go. It looks like it successfully created our on-premises network. So we'll come back over now to our virtual network. So here's my Azure VNet. And drill into the properties of it. Go back to that configure tab that we were originally on for our virtual network. And enable site-to-site connectivity. Now, when we check the box to enable site-to-site connectivity, we can pick our local network that we just defined. And then if we scroll down a little further, you'll see that it has automatically added in a gateway subnet. The gateway subnet is where our virtual network is going to get the virtualized version of your VPN gateway or virtual network gateway provisioned inside of your virtual network. We'll see how to do that in a moment. If we're using site-to-site connectivity, the gateway over the public internet, using IPsec tunnels, the gateway subnet that gets provisioned is a /29 subnet. If we're using ExpressRoute, then we actually provision a /28 subnet. There's a few additional IP addresses that are necessary as part of a reserved address space for ExpressRoute. So let's go ahead and pretend that we're going to use ExpressRoute here for establishing our connection. So I'm going to temporarily delete the auto-provided gateway subnet. I'll check the option to use ExpressRoute. And then because I still need to have a place to deploy my virtual network gateways, I'll click on the Add Gateway Subnet button, and because I'm using ExpressRoute, it automatically selects the appropriate subnet mask to use for my gateway subnet. So I'll go ahead and save that off. And my virtual network has been successfully updated with my site-to-site connection information configured on the Azure side to use ExpressRoute. Now if I go back over to my dashboard area for my virtual network, it's going to show me an overall view of my virtual network. So we'll see here's my virtual network, here's my on-premises network, here's a depiction of the DNS servers that I'm using on my virtual network. And you'll see that it says the gateway was not created yet. So we've configured our virtual network to use a gateway, but we haven't actually provisioned the virtual network gateway yet on our virtual network. In order to do that, it's really easy. We click the Create Gateway button down at the bottom, and then we select Yes to begin creating that gateway set of virtual machines. Essentially, the gateways are kind of purpose-built virtual machines that are going to be placed on your virtual network, purpose-built for routing traffic back and forth, in this case over ExpressRoute, back to your on-premises network. Now, once this gateway is created, you'll see it up and running. Your little gateway symbol will turn blue instead of yellow, indicating that that gateway is now available. But there's still a little bit more connection information that we need to supply to tie that virtual gateway into our particular express route connection, either over MPLS connection or through an exchange provider. That last step of getting your virtual gateway connected in through express route, through your express route connection, is done in PowerShell. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit away from our Azure portal and bring up our Windows PowerShell integrated scripting environment, our ISE environment. And inside Windows PowerShell, what I've already done is I've gone out to the Azure portal and downloaded the latest version of the Azure PowerShell module. And you'll see that I'm importing that module along with the ExpressRoute module, which comes packaged with the latest versions of the Azure PowerShell module. So I'm importing both of those modules so that I can use their commandlets inside the rest of my PowerShell session for connecting to my Azure subscription and building out my ExpressRoute connection. So I'll go ahead and run those two lines. It'll import those two modules. Now I'll need to sign in from PowerShell to my Azure subscription with administrative access. So I can use the Add Azure Account PowerShell commandlet to do that. And I'll just key in my Azure subscription username. And password. Click the sign in button. And it'll step through the process of authenticating me to my Azure subscription. So now I'm tied into my Azure subscription. If I wanted to see the different ExpressRoute providers that currently exist for the Azure data center that my virtual network is provisioned in, I can use the Get Azure Dedicated Circuit Service Provider commandlet to show that list. So I'll go ahead and run that commandlet. It'll reach out to my subscription and it'll show me all the options that I have for high speed connectivity. In this case, as of the day of today of our recording date, we've got options through AT&T, through British Telecom, Equinix, Level 3 Communications, Verizon, and whatnot. And it shows us the various dedicated circuit locations and the speed options. So as we talked about, we've got wide area connectivity up to a gigabit per second. And we've got fiber exchange provider connectivity over up to 10 gigabits per second. So our next step then is to select a particular circuit type that we want to use. So we'll say perhaps our organization is using AT&T for our wide area network services. And we're using the Azure data center region that's closest to Silicon Valley. What we can do is specify our bandwidth, a descriptive name for our dedicated circuit, the service provider, AT&T, and the location. In this case, for AT&T, either Silicon Valley or Washington, D.C. In fact, let's go ahead and specify Washington, D.C., because our Azure virtual network was set up in the East U.S. data center region. So we'll go ahead and run those lines to set up those values. And then to build the circuit, we'd use the new Azure dedicated circuit PowerShell commandlet and then pass in each of these variables, our circuit name, our service provider that we wish to build the circuit from, the amount of bandwidth that we want to build the circuit for, and then the location. So we'll go ahead and run that command. And as it builds out that circuit, it'll take a few moments for it to do that. It'll return a special piece of information for our circuit called a service key. The service key is used as a unique identifier for our circuit that we can use then to tie this circuit into our existing wide area network, in this case with AT&T, and also to tie this circuit into our virtual network that we've already set up our VPN, our virtual network gateway inside. So you'll see that our circuit's now defined as a 50 meg circuit through AT&T, and here is that service key information. So this 9A613 blah 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 number, that's that special service key. We can actually if we forget the service key, we can use Git Azure Dedicated Circuit down the road to pull that service key back and show us that information. But at this point, we would call up our provider, our wide area network provider, tell them we wish to connect this express route circuit into our wide area network, give them that service key, and that's the information they would need to link that express route connection into our wide area, into our existing wide area network. Once that's set up, then we've got to take this express route connection and link it into our virtual network gateway. So we do that by specifying the name of our virtual network. So we previously set up our virtual network as My Azure VNet. So I'll go ahead and record that into a variable. And then we'd specify new Azure dedicated circuit link as our PowerShell command. Let pass it the service key and pass it our VNet name. And we run that last commandlet that ties the two together so that our VNet up in Azure is now able to route over that express route connection to reach any of the IP addresses that we've included as part of our local network definition when we built our site-to-site connection from within the Azure portal. And at that point, we're routing and happy, back and forth, a 50 meg connection right into Azure. Well, Kevin, what do you think? Is that that those steps make sense?
Fantastic. Yeah, it looks like we can make it really simple to set up the network and make the connectivity happen. And as you've shown, even in other ways beyond the portal, but being able to use tools for automation such as PowerShell. Very, very powerful stuff. Thanks
Great.
Very much.
Yeah, sure thing.
Well, thanks a lot, Keith, for that great demo. And we've covered a lot today, and that's really all the time we have for our session. Before we close, do you have any additional recommendations, additional resources you'd like to direct our viewers to?
Yeah, definitely. Out at Microsoft Virtual Academy, there's some great free online courses that anyone listening today can complete to learn more about the areas we've talked about in much greater detail. There's a great MVA course for those of you that are planning for Windows Server 2003 end of support. Great MVA course that gives you all the details and has some migration planning tools that you can use to jumpstart that process. And then we've got two jumpstarts that are really great courses for learning more about on-premises virtual networks with Hyper-V and System Center on Windows Server 2012 R2, and also hybrid cloud networks using Microsoft Azure and the virtual networking capabilities that we've described today. So definitely check those out, those two MVA jumpstarts. We've got links to down at the bottom of the page, and then certainly our overall series that Kevin, you and I and our other teammates are doing this month and next on migrating and modernizing our infrastructure with hybrid cloud.
Fantastic. The link of URL to that is the aka.ms/moderncloud. So really easy to remember, but I'm sure we'll have all those links on the page where the video is found. Well, Keith, again, thank you so much for your time. This has really been great information.
Great. Well, thanks for having me today, Kevin.
You're welcome, and we'll see you all again soon for another edition of TechNet Radio, Modernizing Your Infrastructure with Hybrid Cloud.